that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning. That wheel has rolled around again. It is time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this May 4th, 2013, the first Saturday morning in May. We're glad to be here, and we've got everybody here. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And we've got Jason here. Good morning, Sir Jason.
Good morning.
Ooh, let me adjust my levels here. My apologies. We'll see how that is, and we'll say good morning, John.
Good morning.
And John, we'll ask you to open up with prayer, if you would, sir.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly in the precious holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. Ask that you'd guide and direct our thoughts, that they would be your thoughts and that they would be of some benefit to your people, the remnant. Pray for your Holy Spirit to be present. Pray for your remnant out there, Lord, your people, those who will not bow their knee to Baal. Pray a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around them. Put angels about them. Keep them safe, Lord. Pray for your blessings to be upon them. Pray that you allow them to prosper. Pray that you'd keep the plagues and the diseases of Egypt far from their tents. And as we are in these dark days, Lord, we do come against any demonic, satanic forces, those sons of the devil who would love nothing more than to see your people destroyed. And we bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. Send them to your feet to be dealt with any way you see fit, Lord. Pray for those, the saints out there, the remnant, those that are partaking in this 40-day of fasting and prayers, Lord, that you'd bless them abundantly. Pray even now that you'd send angels ahead of time to that Branson area gathering, that you'd prepare the spirit there, Lord, that you'd put your angels about it, protect it. Pray for those that are coming, those that are supposed to be there, that you would call them, that you would open the doors that need to be opened and you close the doors that need to be closed. Pray for this ministry, Lord, your ministry. Pray that you would continue to bless it, continue to guide and direct those of us in the ways that you want it run. You're the CEO, Lord. We're but your humble servants. Pray all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is how Coffee with the Wranglers works. We have our coffee, we're on the radio, we've prayed, and we have our Bibles, and we'll just open it up and see. Kyle, you look like you're going through some stuff pretty intent over there. You got something to
No, I'm just, out? You know, always working on something. You know, I've been listening to the Heart of the Matter series this week on my travels to La Porte and back, and first of all, I recommend, if you haven't ever heard it, to hear it. And if it's been a while since you heard it, because we're, you know, as Christians, if we're not growing, we're dead. So if you listen to something that you haven't listened to in 5 or 10 years, if you've been growing, you'll get way more out of it. You know, even though you might think you got it all the first time, you know. Mm-hmm. When you're into the subject of the heart, there's a thousand scriptures on the heart. And there's a lot. I mean, it basically gets down to everything. You deceive yourself with the heart. You know, I mean, your mouth speaks according to the abundance of your heart. I mean, there's just so many angles of it. And it can be used for good, you know, and unfortunately for evil. And as we talked the other day, Richard, or maybe all of us did, about that's the number one disease in the killing disease in the world is heart disease.
Yes.
Which also expands on many different things, you know, I mean, many different organs, many different, you know. But and I just don't think there's, I think the physical and the spiritual just line up perfectly. There's a heart disease in the spiritual. There's a heart disease in the physical that's killing God's people, you know. And that has a lot to do with this fast, you know, getting our hearts lined back up with God so he can hear that our prayers. So when we cry out for what's coming and what's already came, anyway, this is the way I look at it, that he'll listen more because we're doing something, you know. I mean, it might not be much,
right,
but we're doing something, you know. Anyway.
Good. Amen. Comments. I think it's a good place to start this morning. You know, you hear a lot in the world, even from the, you know, those that claim to be Christians, you know, they'll start. You'll talk to them, and I've heard it anyway several times, you know, that they'll tell you, oh, I know, or I feel this in my heart of hearts. You know, that's more than just feeling it in their heart, I guess. and you're absolutely right. Your heart will deceive you. Your mind will deceive you. And because of the society we live in, we are not... the society is not grounded. Let's say it that way. I want to get away from saying we, but it's the society that we live in today, this once Christian nation, is not grounded in the Word anymore. And so it's you know, whatever goes. Well, if I think this is right, that's how the people look at it, because they think they're a God. And if they think that it's right or okay or not okay, then they go with that. And you're right. This time of fasting that we've called, you heard John pray about it, and we are 4 days into it. Today is day 4, and we have what we're doing is asking the remnant from all over to take one day, at least one day during these 40 days between now and our Branson area gathering, which will be on June 7, 8, and 9, to take a day to pray, to fast, to do without the things that we normally do with all day long, and to do that, to draw nearer to God for their benefit and for the benefit of the remnant. And we've had a great response for that. Right now, we've just today is Saturday the 4th. We've got people in Pennsylvania, Nebraska, Colorado, all over that have called in and told us that, yeah, they'll take a day, they'll fast and pray. Again, not only for themselves, but I think he hears it more when we do pray and fast for others.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. Well, it's like we were discussing Isaiah 58 the other day. It tells you in Isaiah 58 how not, and the reasons not to fast for.
Right.
Right.
And then it tells you the reason to fast for.
The proper reasons, yep.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's talking about taking care of the weak and the innocent, the orphan, the widow. I mean, it's talking about how we should be. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not so much, which obviously you do it, or at least they did it back then, is they put on the sackcloth, you know, and they went into a fast. But if you do it for the wrong reasons, it's worthless.
Right.
You know, if you're bowing your head and you're praying for the wrong reasons, he's not going to hear you.
Right.
You know.
Well, it comes back to
the heart.
The heart.
Yeah.
The heart. What is the intent? And that's what he wants from us. You know, he wants obedience. There's times that he requires sacrifice. We've been sending some emails around this week, you know. He gave the ultimate sacrifice of sacrifices. I think, Jason, that's how you worded it in an email this week.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus Christ going to the cross, there is no greater sacrifice. You know, unless you think of maybe it's God the Father who offered up his only son. I mean, that is beyond comprehension when you really start thinking about it, especially as a father. And so as a result of that, what does he want? He wants obedience. He wants obedience because he knows that's best for his people. But he wants it out of the heart. He wants us to want to do it, to desire to do it. I keep thinking...
Well, he wants our heart as
right.
well. And, you know, if people have a perverted sense of that, thinking, follow your heart. And, you know, I mean, how many times do you hear follow your heart? There's songs all over the radio about following your heart. You know, oh, just do what your heart says to do. You know, and Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? You know, that's coming from the Word of God. You know, the heart is more deceitful than all else.
That reminds me of that song, the old country and western song. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. That's the society we live in. You know, that's how.
Well, and I was thinking about the old country western song, "The Heart Won't Lie." I mean,
right.
talk about being contrary to the Word of God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's our society today, and for the last several generations, mm-hmm. that's what the society is based on. That's what our thoughts, in general, are based on. Is that? Yeah. I don't want to be right.
Yeah.
My heart won't lie to me. What I think is right. What I do is right. And you know, if it feels good, do it. And those things have been brought upon by an enemy. They're not what the Word of God says.
Well, it's been brought on by a generation of people that want to do it their way.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, when you follow your heart, you're doing things your way. You're doing it what you want, your desires, and you're putting your desires above God's desires. And, you know, that's where we're at as a, you know, for a lot of people, you know, and when we do it his way, that's a lot better way.
Amen.
In Psalms 51.
I like that Heart of the Matter series, too. That was a really good series. Well, that's one of those series that you listen to it, and you examine yourself, and always find room for improvement.
It hits home,
don't it?
All the time. You know, and it has to do with bitterness so much and getting snake bit, and haven't we all suffered snake bit? And he talks about the transference of pain, you know, and we've all witnessed that and maybe even did that. You know, when we get hurt, what do we want to do? We want to hurt back, you know what I mean? And it does, it gets to your conscience, You know, and you sit there and you find yourself having to repent for things that you forgot about, and it's good for you.
Oh, it
you
is. Know? It's healing.
Yeah.
It's healing. It is. It is. Psalms 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. And that, O God, you will not despise." And that's what comes to mind when you mention that. That, yeah, we see these things. This you can't let that root of bitterness grow. But that's what we have to have, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, meaning that we think it's supposed to be one way. God says it's supposed to be another. And we have to overcome how we want it to be.
Yeah, we want to remind the remnant, too, that at sfaw.org is a prayer written by the Holy Spirit through one of the Acres of Diamond men that everybody needs to be praying. Tries to address all of the biblical truths and biblical teachings regarding fervent prayer and fasting. So if you go to the website, you'll be able to find that there.
And we did... Did we get that mailed out?
Yes,
I can ask. Great,
we did.
So it was a big day for the post office yesterday. I understand, at least for Scriptures for America, because the Volume 4 newsletter, Jason and Kyle have been just slaving on that thing to get that out, and got that out in the mail yesterday morning, and then also this prayer that John mentioned to you is the May prayer, and we wanted to get that out as soon as possible, and so that also went out in the mail yesterday. And we emailed that out as well to those on the prayer chain. So if you'd like to get that, like John said, you can go to the website, scriptures4america.org. You can read it there under the prayers. And if you'd like it in an email, we'd be glad to email it to you. Our email address is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. And if you haven't signed up for a day of this fast, if you want to take a day, if you'll make that sacrifice, like we read, and it is a sacrifice to go a day without food, it is. You have more benefit for doing it.
It's like the first day is difficult, and then a couple of days after that are pretty easy, and then it gets a little difficult again. And,
right.
But
usually when you get down to that 39th and 40 day, that's when it's really hard.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So it's surprising. We've had many people call and have said, well, what, you know, do I have to go 40 days without food? And so, no, we again, even part of this, it's a day. Take a day. We read in Psalms 51:17, what does God want for a sacrifice? A broken spirit and a contrite heart. And, you know, you go a day without food, you'll feel kind of broken, but that's okay.
I don't really even think that it's necessarily going a day without food. To me, it's more of a sacrifice for, to stay into that mindset and to, continue to pray and,
yes.
to remember why you're going without food. And that was, one of the reasons of going without food is to bring on those hunger pains. Remind you to pray.
Yep.
Very good point. Very good. We have
a lot of details, too, in that Dragon Slayer 4. So once you get that, you'll understand a lot more what Holy Spirit's trying to do.
Yes, and we emailed that out in a PDF to all the people that have requested it as well. You can read that also at the website, scriptures4america.org. And the main article is entitled Prayer and Fasting. And... It does a very good job of talking about it, some of the reasons for repentance and atonement during times of distress and grief, for spiritual preparation. Just some of the reasons that we read of times of fasting and prayer in the Bible. And so we encourage you to take a look at that. And again, we can send that to you as well if you'd like via email. If you're not on our Dragon Slayer list, there's no charge to be on it. You can write to us and request to be on it, Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, and we'd be glad to send you one.
Or email it to them.
or email it to you. And again, our email is preacher@sfaw.org.
Coffee time.
Coffee time. Yep.
Yeah, I just took a sip.
So again,
well, I know you guys saw this week the open persecution is beginning in the military. I can read a headline here. It says, "Today we face incredibly well-funded gangs of fundamentalist Christian monsters who terrorize their fellow Americans by forcing their weaponized and twisted version of Christianity upon their helpless subordinates in our nation's armed forces." That
wow.
says a lot. Yeah, that's the headline. So anyways, this Mikey Weinstein, founder of Military Religious Freedom.
Gee, I wonder,
freedom.
You think he might be a Jew?
No, I don't know. Kind of hard to tell. Yeah, right.
Man.
That's what I said, too, when people were sending me this. Yeah, he founded his own MRFF, Military Religious Freedom Foundation. And basically, here's a couple other headlines. Pentagon may court-martial soldiers who share Christian faith. And another one, House Majority Whip, well, I don't even know who the heck that is, but anyways, Pentagon must clarify position on prosecuting Christians. So, I mean, what they're saying, if you read this article, is that by proclaiming the gospel, you are committing treason, which is punishable by death. And I didn't write that. That's what's in this article.
Nothing new under the sun.
No,
The apostles went through it. They said, you cannot speak of Jesus in the streets.
Right.
You know? And what they do? They went out and spoke of Jesus in the streets. You know, I mean, it's just the same old thing as, you know, Christians, there's no king but Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, and we better obey God rather than man. And push is coming to shove. And you're going to, you know, he's always tested. Yeah. He's always tested Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's always puts that test out there. That's why he left the enemies.
It is.
In the first place was to test them. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
And so the test is coming. You know what I mean? It's coming for some sooner than others, but it's coming for all. You know,
Amen.
Are you going to pass?
Yeah, it says Weinstein then endorses the ultra-left Southern Poverty Law Center. Well, imagine that. Who publishes a list of hate groups alongside truly deplorable organizations like the KKK and the SPLC. So, yep, that's
wow.
interesting times. God's
yeah,
going to give
and
us
and
a
Christians
red
went,
deep.
Okay, so they're making it, they're trying to make it legal to kill Christians who share their faith, and then at the same time they want to disarm everybody. That sounds kind of like a conspiracy, don't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we got a caller. Let's go to the phone lines.
It's a little early.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, is this the terrorist hotline?
Well, you could call it that, I guess.
Well, you know what's going on with all of this. They know the signs of the times. And I missed the first part of the program, but they know the signs of the times. And we are a terror to them. You
right.
know, if we hit our knees, all they got to do is keep us from hitting our knees, praying and fasting, then they win. But, boy, as soon as we get that praying and fasting down and hit our knees, they know. And they're doing everything they can to thwart it. And they have upped the ante a lot in the last 30 days.
Yep. Yeah, they know that if his people who are called by his name humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, he will hear from heaven, he will forgive their sin, and he will heal their land. And they're deathly afraid of it.
Yeah.
Have you read to the people from the Septuagint, if one of you happen to have it handy? The way it reads in the Septuagint is so sweet.
In Ezekiel?
No,
that
the
Second Chronicles?
Second Chronicles,
7:14. Oh, yeah. I don't have my Septuagint with me. I took it to work, actually.
Yeah, we're in the back office. I think
that's
they're all
a federal offense, buddy.
That's okay.
what I wanted to talk to bring up was, you know, since the fast started this week with our people, I don't know how everyone else has hit, but we've had one of my daughters threw her knee out. The other daughter twisted her ankle and she's on crutches. FedEx that had never missed a package that was supposed to be here overnight, it'll take 6 days to get here, that we needed. Just some of the most bizarre things happening, and it's just to thwart God's people from praying. You know, if he can keep our life in confusion mm-hmm. and frustration and keep us sitting in front of a television, that's another victory for them.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Chris. You mean things like three computers crashing out for no apparent reason within 24 hours of each other?
Yeah,
that happens. It happens. But
what happens is, you know, these people, like the people I'm dealing with out in the world, they don't have Christ. And Satan can twist their mind or twist their memory or twist the way they operate, and then it brings confusion upon us. Because they'll go, well, no, this isn't what was supposed to happen, or that's supposed to happen, or they jump in front of you in traffic, or, you know, whatever they can do, those little gremlins like they talked about in World War II, just to cause havoc.
Yeah, it's it is that last ditch effort, like you mentioned, Chris. The enemy knows his time is falling short. The last days are upon us, and it's his last days. It's the enemy's last days. You know,
and they know the signs in heaven.
Yes, yes. They're in defensive mode. They're digging their holes in the ground. They're stockpiling their food, their weapons, their ammo to try to defend themselves against what's coming. And it's all going to be for naught. There is only one deliverer in the great and terrible day of the Lord. And that's Jesus Christ in his blood. And they don't have access to it.
Will you gentlemen be blessed this morning? Just thought I'd put in my thoughts. And I will talk to you later.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Have a great day.
Yeah. Reading in this article, too, they're actually going as far as saying when you share the gospel with someone, it's likened to being raped. They're calling it spiritual rape.
Yeah. Yeah. I read that earlier this week. I know you sent that out, John, and it reminded me of, you know, like you said, Kyle, the early Christians being accused of being cannibals. You know, that was just the, because they partook of the Lord's Supper, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the enemy says, what can we do to persecute them some more? Oh, well, that's cannibalism, so let's kill them. And they did for a while, and it is. It's further persecution until the Christian realizes that you can't live side by side with those that hate Jesus Christ. I think it's a great thing that's happening. This has to happen to make the people realize that they're either going to serve God or they're not. That lukewarm is being done away with. The hot and cold are being separated. The sheeps and the goats are being separated. Those that will bow down and serve Jesus Christ are being separated from those that won't.
Yep. Exciting times.
And it's choose you this day.
Let me read a few verses here in Acts 5, starting with 28, and I'll read through 33. Saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name, and behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are the witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God have given to them that obey him. When they heard that, says they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. You see, they can't handle that.
That's right.
They know their time is short, and they can't handle the word of God being spoke and the death, burial, and resurrection being proclaimed. You know, now we should be further than this. God gave us Zion, you know, but according to the prophets, and God knew it was going to happen, we turned, went a whoring after other gods, like Israel has done so many times. But the good news is, unlike these days when Peter was here, the good news is we're that much closer to the restitution of Zion, you know. And
yes.
And so things are going to play out a little different than they played out 2,000 years ago. I don't know how. You know, I don't know who's going to have to be martyred or who's going to be a martyr. I don't know how it's going to play out.
Right.
But we're going to have a land again. It's, and God's going to restore the judges. We're going to have justice in the land. We're going to be a land of righteousness again. Like Edie's call last week when she talked about the stone kingdom crushing that Babylonian kingdom, you know, that's about to happen. You know, I mean, we just don't know exactly the players and, you know, what all is going to take place. But, I mean, it's exciting times, but we ought to at least look at these scriptures and say, hey, if they could do it back then, we have the Holy Spirit, right?
Absolutely.
You know, Absolutely. Then we better be doing it today.
Yeah.
You know, you look... We brought this up before, but if you look in Revelation 6, starting in verse 9 about the fifth seal of martyrs, but we'll read, let's read verse 11. And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. So, based on this, there will be others that will be martyred.
Right, but we don't know when that final number is complete.
Right,
right.
And then the fun starts. I mean, the real fun, you know, and because it's gonna be exciting times again. You know, I hope I'm alive. I hope I'm here to take part in that. You know, but if not, then, hey, we'll be the ones that are coming back, right?
Exactly. That's the thought. You know, how many times have we thought that? You know, I hope I'm alive to do this and to do that. Well, if we're one of, you know, how much greater if you are one of the, if you can provide a lot of the martyrs,
yes,
or if you are one of the martyrs. It's a different way of thinking, because just like you read, John, it's those that are martyred that have served Jesus Christ, that have served God the Father with all their heart, mind, and soul, they're the ones that are standing there waiting.
How long? How long?
How long? They have that robe of white because they've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's not everybody, people. That's those that have served him and that have gone on, that have died, that have passed away in Christ. And it is the dead in Christ that rise first. It's those that are sitting there waiting.
Well, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?"
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And it ain't going to be long now. It's not. Let's go to this caller. We'll come back to this subject.
Jake.
Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Ranch Wranglers. This is Curtis from Oklahoma.
Well, good morning, Curtis.
And I just wanted to give you a call, let you know that we took advantage of our alternate Passover day, and we combined that with the fasting. And in our study, we came across something I would like to pass on to you.
Okay.
And what we did is we read, my wife and I, we read, Isaiah chapter 59 as an imprecatory prayer for judgment. Because we found in studying that the Lord is pleased with those that help him with, that ask him for the judgment to bring the lying and the scandals and the untruth and the destruction of his word.
Yes.
To light. And we asked the Lord in that chapter to put on his armor and deliver us through his son, Jesus Christ. And you'll actually find a reference, and I think it's verse 15. I think it's verse 15 or 16, where it actually says that the Lord is going to bring a ish, or I-S-H, a higher man, whereas Adam is a lower man. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. So I just thought I'd want to let you know that insight that came to us. And blessings on all you guys up there, the ranch wranglers. I know you're carrying a heavy load, and looking forward to meeting you later in the June.
Right, amen. Brothers. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Bye.
You know, he mentions that here in verse 19 of Isaiah 59. It says, "So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun." They're scared. They fear it. That's why they do all they can, like you said, Kyle, to do away with that word. They fear it. They fear his name. And they don't want anything to do with it.
No, but this is exactly what the goal is of this fasting and prayer, is to be led to the insight of these verses, you know, that are in the Bible here, that for some reason we don't see them until the proper time.
Well, that's because it's not the proper time yet. But I do want to, you know, the burden Christ, you know, the burden that he brought up that we have here is, it's nothing. Christ took the burden. I mean, his cross, the cross that he carried, took all of our burdens who are in him. And I just want to give credit where credit is due, you know, because what a load.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we read, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I guess, in Amos 8, 11 through 12, and it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it." That's, you know, that's the times we're coming into right now.
I think we've been in that for two generations now. You know, I think we have. We've got this X generation, and they're having children now. And that X generation, I remember the pastor pointed out, you know, that's lost. That's the lost generation. And I think we're in those times, John. I really do. Because our people have been doing that. They don't want to hear. You know, the Pastor
right.
Peter started putting this word out over 30 years ago. And that remnant is heard. But the majority of the people in this once Christian land, no, they don't want to hear it.
But because what I'm saying is that probation period is coming to an end. That Christ is still, you know, like in 2 Thessalonians, he's still holding back. You know, his spirit is still present here, but that probation time to repent and turn to him and seek the word, the true word, is coming to an end.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came to an end in Noah's day, came to an end in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
You know, it came to an end, you know, as the destroyer came into Egypt, you know what I mean? And it's going to happen again. That you're right. There's going to be a time where it's too late, you know.
Yep, they'll be banging on the side of the ark, but guess what? Too late. Door's shut.
You know, that's sad because, you know, it said Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and you know that he was crying out. He was an old man, you know, I mean, maybe not in his time, because it might not have looked like an old man. I don't know how they looked when they were getting that old, but you know he had friends, or he had acquaintances, you know, and he didn't want to see him out there drowning and crying and, you know, their little children, you know, being swooped down. I mean, but they just wouldn't listen.
Yeah, they didn't want to hear it.
The crazy old coot building a boat, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. That's how the world looks at it. Yeah, you have those that, like we read, that fear the name, and then you have those And those are the sons of hell that cannot repent, that are creatures of instinct, created to be destroyed, that cannot sleep at night unless they cause someone else to stumble. We have to remember, folks, we have an enemy that's there, that is a son of perdition, a son of hell. And they want nothing more than they sleep good at night if they can cause destruction, if they can cause one of us to stumble. And so we have that enemy out there, but we have another enemy too. And that other enemy is our brother, our sister, that are twofold more sons of hell. And they are, and we could be that way, and we have to guard against that. But because they like you read, John, they don't hear, they don't want to hear. It's like those that were Noah's, could have been brothers and sisters in that day, but they chose the evil and the wickedness, and to mock God, and it's that way today.
Yeah, you know, his sons' wives had family.
Yeah,
I mean, you know that,
right?
I mean,
and I doubt Noah was an only child.
Probably not.
Yeah. You know, and so they are out there, and it is the time draws near. The time draws near. The warning is being put out. Repent. Repent or perish. Repent or die. It's really as simple as that. It's not a new message. But it's a message that has not been heard. It's been being proclaimed. But it's not being the remnant are choosing. There are those in the remnant that choose not to hear it. And you know, you have to make the right choice before it's too late.
I don't even think very many hear that message anymore. The generations have destroyed that message of repent or perish. You know, the churches out there, they don't teach repent. All they teach is that God loves you, and no matter what kind of filthy whatever you are, you know. Yeah. He loves you as much as he loves the next guy. I mean, that's right. The message that's being taught.
That's another shibboleth, too, really.
It
if
is.
They're teaching you to repent, then chances are there's some good there. But if they're not teaching repentance, then they're on the other side.
Right. No, most of it is they're teaching you to, you know, you have to love the rapist. You know, and now we hate what he does, but God loves him. Yeah, God loves him enough that he wants to wipe him off the face of the earth, and that's what
exactly.
He tells us to do.
Yeah, I've come to a point now where I'm just doing what Ezekiel 3:17-19 says. Warn those that are living wickedly to turn from their wicked ways. And if you don't, then their blood is on you. But if you do and they don't turn, then it's on them. Because we don't know how much time we have. The time for lovey-dovey is over. It's time for truth, repent or perish, period.
Yes, sir.
It is. Well, guys, the phone's ringing again. You think we should answer it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. Calvin here.
Well, good morning, Cal.
I was looking up in Matthew in light of what you guys are discussing here about these people thinking that we're evildoers because we pray and we name the name of Jesus. But it's interesting, Matthew chapter 27, Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather than a riot was starting. He washed his hands and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and our children." Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy, did they ask for it, huh?
Amen.
They did.
And that's the way it is. And they know that their numbers are the days are numbered because it goes back to that. They are like unreasoning animals to be captured and killed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
They have no future. They're cursed.
But some of those, Calvin, because of you can read about what Peter said to them, a lot of those were the same people there in Acts 2. So some of them were the two more fold sons of hell that did repent.
Be redeemed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that.
Yep.
But these are the unreasoning animals. These are the ones that incited the riots there.
You're right, yeah.
They were the drivers of that evil. And so my answer to the deal in the military, if that's their problem, I don't know why any Christian man or woman would allow their child to go in the military.
Amen.
It's not our army, it's their army.
Yep, they're just sacrificing our people.
Ignorance.
Boy,
yeah.
We have no king but King Jesus. Why would we be following some jackass there and its brain out of Washington?
Right.
Amen.
Nonsense. And let them try to fight with some of these guys, see if they can get in some of these jet aircraft and fly them at Mach 2. Ha! Well, we'll see how that goes. They can't even add 3 and 3. Anyway, I'm on my soapbox. Keep up the good work, man. June 3rd is my day for a fast.
All right, we'll put you
down. I'll celebrate my 75th birthday with a fast.
Hey, that's good.
How
Thanks,
appropriate.
Calvin.
You bet.
Lord willing, we hope to see you at Branson Area Gathering.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good point. I mean, our society, our people are so ignorant of our soldiers, our army. You know what I mean? They don't realize who they're serving. You know what I mean? I listened to an old clip of John Wayne, I don't know, a week or two ago, where he's like reading, I don't know, it was the Pledge of Allegiance or something like that. But even back then, whenever that was in the 60s or 70s, he was ignorant to what's really going on. You know, I mean, they're brainwashed by the philosophy of the Constitution and all these things. They think that, you know, that the people that are in high places are wanting the best for us, and they don't want the best for us. They want the worst for us, you know. And you know, you take a man like that who's good in so many ways, but what he said, and I forget exactly how he said it, but it was like it was complete opposite of what should have been said, you know. And
what it does is it appeals to the
heart.
Heart. Yeah. And it appeals to, and there's so many things that are tied in there, and it does. It appeals, you know, God and country and family, and that's what it appeals to, the heart.
Yeah.
Which we've heard today is the most deceitful thing among us.
Because it does. It's like, well, John Wayne wants me to join the army, you know, and he's a good Christian. I mean, and it's like, no, he deceived you.
Right.
Maybe because he was deceived, but whatever the purpose is, you know. Well, we know what the purpose is, I guess.
Yeah.
Good points by Calvin.
It is. Well, you know, and I think one place that we can start, Jason, I think you and Tim were talking about it last night, is, and again, in this Volume 4 newsletter, the main article is prayer and fasting. And so when you get it, when you read it on the website, we suggest that's definitely the first place you go, is read that main primary article. When you get through that, go back to page 2019, and there's another article in here written by an Acres of Diamonds man, and it's called The Power of No. And I caught a little bit of your program last night, Jason. It sounded like that's what you and Tim were talking about. And that's, you know, sometimes we just have to say that from a Christian perspective, you know, and not go along with the way this world is just spiraling down to hell.
Yep.
Jason, thoughts on that? You share a little bit of that? I mean, we got a few minutes.
You know, Philippians 1:27 says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whatever I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you, and that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponent, which is the sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. And that, too, from God. And, you know, I mean, that scripture right there, those two verses say a whole lot about, you know, the way we're to conduct ourselves. And, you know, it's a warrior scripture. You know, when we've got to make sure that first and foremost that we conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And, I mean, that's the truth.
Because the rest of it won't even matter then. If you don't,
the rest of it don't matter. Yeah. You know, whatever else happens, whatever else you do, it don't matter after that. You know, and that's first and foremost. You know,
that's why it's all about them trying to keep us in fear. You know,
exactly. You know, they want to keep us in fear. They want to, you know, us to be the ones that are found fretting, are in, you know, an uproar, worried about what they're doing. And I think that can be. Let's say a spiritual law of warfare that can go for both sides. You know, we know it works for us because the Word of God tells us it does, and we know that that's an absolute truth. Is it? Could it be that this is a law of warfare in a spiritual sense that our enemies have understood, and that's why they use their fear tactics so much upon us? I believe it is.
Yeah,
I and, too. You know, I believe that that's something that they figured out.
I mean, it can make if you are fearful, it can make you so weak in the knees that you can't be a strong man.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that's true. Well, even right now, the latest fear fad is that they're going to detonate nukes all across the U.S. on the 6th, you know, and it's like, even if they were, what could you do? But there's nothing you can do except for pray.
Yep.
Just pray for to bind those evil ones and that they fall in the traps that they lay. So, I mean,
the rest of it is wasted time.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember one of the prayers we prayed about Wednesday night was a couple who was stressing about financial stuff. And, you know, and we all have, at times in our lives, have to do and make decisions financially. But just if you think about all the wasted time that people are fearful of this or that, that they can do nothing about it.
Right.
You know, they're in a situation, maybe it don't look that great, but leave it in the Lord's hands and then live. You know, instead of, because I've been there. I've spent days upon days worrying about how I was going to make my next payments. When all I could do was work and pray, you know, and but you waste all that time, which hinders you from working. You know, it hinders you from really putting your all into something, just like Jason's talking about. That weapon of fear will hinder a soldier from being tough, from being the way he's supposed to be, because his mind is not, you know, is destroying him, you know. And
right.
Anyway, just it's
well, that's why there's two things that Dad taught us, that Brother Word, you know, that they tried to promote him into being a big evangelist, and he probably could have been bigger than Billy Sunday and some of the other big ones, but they didn't want him to preach on baptism, and they didn't want him to preach on tithing, because they know that tithing will deliver God's blessings to his people, and that baptism is key to salvation. And they can't have salvation, so they try to keep all that they can from salvation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that in that, too, when one of the reasons that they go against the tithing thing so much is because they know that the devourer will be rebuked.
Yes.
And that's what they are, is devourers. They're the devourers of men. And I believe that they understand that, and they don't want that to take place because they keep people from tithing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we got time for one more caller.
We'll take the caller.
Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Richard, I'm back. This is Cal.
Okay.
Ecclesiastes is very, very pointed verses in there. This is an evil, and this is chapter 9. That is in all that is done under the sun. There is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and insanity is in their heart throughout their lives. And afterwards, they go to the dead. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
For whatever is joined with all living, there is hope. Surely, a live dog is better than a dead lion. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. And here's a verse that I love. Chapter 10, verse 2, a wise man's heart directs him to the right, but foolish man's heart directs him towards the left. Wake up, Washington, D.C.
Amen.
Anyway, boy, I'll tell you, the Lord is sure kind. I was reading Isaiah also from chapter 40 on this week. It is really beautiful how the Lord loves his people. It's just
Amen.
Beyond all comprehension. And I'll say again, good morning, men. The Lord bless you.
Thanks, Cal.
Lord bless you too, brother.
Well, guys, we're wrapping up here this morning. There's another Saturday morning coffee with the Wranglers. Before we run out of time, we want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can come to church with us without leaving your home. You can just turn your computer on and go to scriptures4america.org at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And click on the live video stream starting at 10 a.m. And you can join us for a two-hour church service. So we put the invitation out there if you want to join us. We encourage you to do that.
go to the website too and pray the May prayer.
Yes, definitely do that. It's up there, and we encourage you to go and pray it. It's a big prayer, so take a little time. And again, it got mailed out first class mail yesterday. So if you're some of the hundreds that get that in the mail, you'll be getting that next week. And if you want to participate in the prayer and fasting that we're doing, if you can pray and fast for a day and join the remnant as the body of Christ participates in a 40-day prayer and fasting, then contact our office here, and we'll get you on the calendar, like Cal said. And we have any day you want, we're good and covered up through probably for the next 10 days. We've got at least two or three each day, and that's what we want. But any day
some
is fine. Oh yeah,
some six. Yeah.
Any day you would like, if you'd like to participate in that prayer and fasting, and we'll be glad to work out some details with you and put you on the calendar, on the list for that.
Thinking Kyle? About Washington D.C. after Calvin said about, quoted that scripture about
the left and the right.
Left and the right. That, remember that song? Peter used to play it occasionally. The one on the left is on the right, and the one on the right is in the middle. I mean, they're it's not like left and right anymore.
No,
it's just all a big mess, and they are. The one on the right is on the left, and not that they're as bad as the left, but maybe they are. I don't know. It's just a big mess.
Yeah, they are. They're just wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, that's what they are. Yep. Judas goats.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This D.C. street sorcery and the mighty weapon and all that is done. Brought confusion in their camp,
Yes.
Babylon is coming down, so praise God.
It is. Well, going to go out with the last part of Psalms 83. This is one of the reasons they fear, because when his people repent and turn back to God, this is the prayer that we can pray again, and this is what he will do once again. Starting in verse 13, O my God, make them like the whirling dust, like chaff before the wind, and like fire that burns the forest, and like a flame that sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your tempest, and terrify them with your storm. Fill their faces with dishonor, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and dismayed forever, and let them be humiliated and perish, that they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep
keep on moving over snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide.